All right, we'll turn to 1 John chapter 2. One of the reasons why some people mock and reject Christianity is that far too many people who call themselves Christians are hypocrites. They say one thing about themselves as believers, but then they act in ways that are diametrically opposed to what the scriptures say we're supposed to do. We tend to think that this is a modern problem, but it's really not. Hypocrisy has plagued Christianity ever since the very beginning. As I mentioned earlier in our study, there were so-called Christians back in the first century named Gnostics, and they twisted scriptures and they ignored other scriptures, and many of them lived an immoral lifestyle. And they distorted what the Bible has to say. And, you know, that's the work of Satan. Satan has distorted and twisted scriptures since Genesis chapter 3, since the very beginning. But it was the ministry of John, the Apostle John, to confront these deceivers and to restore the believers back to sound doctrine. Sound biblical doctrine is crucial for genuine Christian living because what we believe determines how we think and then how we live. Last Sunday, when we ended 1 John, we learned that you can tell a real Christian from a fake. A genuine believer, says John, keeps and delights in keeping the word of God. He doesn't say we're perfect because he says if we sin, we have an advocate. But in the heart of our hearts, we want to do the word of God. And it breaks our heart when we don't keep the will of God. So the believer who is the real deal is not perfect, but he or she is focused on trying to live a life that pleases God. Now, after stating that fact that the true believer walks in the word in a general way, John now gets to a very specific. And he says, you want to know something? You can tell a real believer from the fake because the real believer loves. So let's start reading in verse 7, John chapter 2, verse 7. And we're going to read to verse 11, and then we'll go back over and get into the details of it. But he says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here's a doctrine or a teaching that is absolutely vital to Christianity. We learned earlier that the heart of Christianity is having fellowship with God and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with one another. And when we fail to love one another, well, then we break that fellowship and we rob ourselves of the many blessings. So look again at verse 7 and 8. John says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Now, everybody gets real confused on these verses because what's the old commandment? What's the new commandment? What the heck's he talking about? Well, the old commandment is the one found in the Old Testament to love. In Deuteronomy verse 6, Moses said, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then, if you're really loving God, you're going to reach out and love other people. So Leviticus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the old commandment. But it's new because Jesus put a new standard on that commandment to love when he taught us how to love. If you've got your Bible, let's turn to John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. And Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So that's the same as the Old Testament, love one another. But now it's going to change. That you love one another as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So our love for one another is supposed to be genuine and caring and even like Christ at times self-sacrificing. It's the love that was in God, that is in God the Father, that is in Jesus Christ. That same love is supposed to be in us. And it is, if we're genuine believers, it's there in that gift of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, when we're saved, we come into a new family, and love is supposed to be the motivation for everything that we do for one another. We're supposed to love each other just as Jesus loved us, deeply, sacrificially, genuinely, with a concern for others more than a concern for ourselves. So let's go back to 1 John. So John wrote that the love of God was actually seen in Jesus Christ and that it can be and it should be seen in us. So in verse 8 he says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you." So what he means by that is when John writes the new commandment to love is true in him, it means that you could actually see that love of God in Jesus. It was true. It was genuine. And he says, and it's also true in you. In other words, the way Jesus loved, you and I can love. It's true. It's genuine in us. And then he says, because of that, because the love of God is really in you, the whole world is changing. Now, how is it all changing? He says, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing away. Wow. You know, the Beatles sang All You Need Is Love. Da, 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 da. And then we all got together and said, yeah, man, let's love one another. Can't we all get along? And we can't. We can't love one another. We can't all get along. Because to love the way Christ loved, you first have to have fellowship with the Father. And John says, this is how you can tell the difference. Remember, John still has in mind these Gnostic Christians who said, it doesn't matter what you do. If you know the secret information, then you have fellowship, connection with God. And John says, uh-uh. If they're not treating you right, if they're not loving you right, then they don't have the genuine fellowship with the Father because that nature is not in them. They're not loving like Christ loved. So he says, the darkness is passing away. And we ask ourselves, well, where in the world is the darkness passing away? You look out in the world, it doesn't look like it's passing away at all. It's passing away first and foremost in us. In us. 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, just listen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They're becoming new because that love of God in you is pushing the darkness out. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says that you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Remember that little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So let it shine, baby. You were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Colossians 1:13 tells us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Boy, what a profound statement. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's really wonderful, to be out of darkness. But even as the darkness is passing away in us, we need to realize there are still people caught in the darkness. There are still people who are held in by the power of darkness, and hardly anyone in the world believes that. There are a few Christians who believe it, but many Christians are squeamish about that too. They don't want to say that non-believers are in the darkness. They'll say, oh, you know, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, they're really nice. They're not in the darkness. Well, either we're right or the Word's right. I mean, true? True. The Bible says if people are not in Christ, they're in spiritual darkness. And it's our job then to shine the light, so that like us, we can see the light and they can be redeemed from darkness. Take a look at 1 Peter. We're already in 1 John, so you don't have to go back very far. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, we need to remember, even though the darkness is passing away in our life, we need to have mercy on people. We need to love people, not only one another, but we need to love people who are not Christians so that they can see the light and be delivered. We often forget how we once were. And we think, oh, we've always been believers. We've always known the word. And it's not true. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. All right, back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. The original Greek, the tense of the verbs give the idea of habitually hating someone. The one who is caught in darkness is someone whose lifestyle is one of loathing and contempt and scorn and disdain and hate. Look at verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. There's just no beating around the bush here. We proclaim and we portray exactly who and what we are by what we do. We are either in the darkness or we're in the light. And there's no better real explanation of what it means to be in darkness than to read what it says in Scripture about those who are in darkness. So let's go to Titus chapter 3. I'll give you people who have electronic devices an extra minute to get there. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. To be in the darkness is to be foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. And here it is, hateful and hating one another. That's what it is to be in darkness. Someone who is habitually hating someone, scorning someone, loathing someone. Now you may say, well, Chuck, this is really hard for me to take because I know people who are not followers of Christ and they're not fools. Well, the Bible says they are. We have to make up our mind who's right. They're not deceived. Well, we have to make up our mind who's right. Either they're in the light, John says, and they're actively loving, or they're in the darkness and they're hateful and hating one another. You see, the world has this superficial charm around it, and it looks nice, but poke it a little bit, and then look in their eyes, and listen to what they say, and watch what they do, and you'll see the selfishness. You'll see the greediness. You'll see the jealousy and the envy. You'll see the malice. You'll see the underworking of hate in their heart. You can see it all the time. You just need to poke at it a little bit, and then all the superficial charm comes off. Verse 10 again in 1 John chapter 2. John writes, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So the person who walks in darkness is an occasion for stumbling, for himself or herself or for others. They're always, in other words, they're always finding fault. They're always finding problems. They're always seeing trouble in other people. They're always pointing the finger, or they're doing something that causes somebody else to get aggravated. Always. That's the person who walks in darkness. Now, if you find yourself doing those things, it's time to ask for forgiveness and then to walk in the light. But you can tell we always portray, we always demonstrate who we are on the inside by what we say and what we do. But as Christians, our lives should be run by a divine purpose. How we think, how we feel, how we behave should be determined not by people, even aggravating people, not by circumstances, but by the will of God. All the time, our lives should be governed by God's truth and God's love. Finally, verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's deep. Just read that again and listen to how many times he talks about darkness. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So picture someone in a dark room, walking around in that dark room, not knowing where they're going, not only because it's dark in the room, but their eyes are blinded. That's how profound John sees the difference between the life of a believer and the life of someone who is not walking in the light. How terrible to be able to live a life like that, to walk in darkness, not knowing where you're going because your eyes are blinded. As followers of Christ, we should have compassion on people like that. We should reach out in love. John's going to tell us the next few verses when we get back together the next time to not love the world. But in a sense, we are supposed to love the world. There's this balance of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave, and John chapter 2, verse 15, that says, do not love the world. There's a system of the world that we're not supposed to love. There's the way the world works that we're not supposed to love. But there's people in the world who are still in darkness that we are supposed to love. And even bigger than loving them, we're supposed to love our brother or our sister in Christ. That's what John's talking about. Remember what Jesus said? If you have love for one another, then they will know that you are my disciples indeed. So that's John's first big practical test to tell the genuine from the counterfeit. He gives the general implication. A true child of God walks in the light, delights in keeping the word of God. Sins, yes, every now and then, but his heart is focused on pleasing God. Now let's get a little more concrete. You're not really a genuine Christian if you don't love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if you do love them, you'll never be an occasion for stumbling. You'll be a blessing. Profound scriptures, simple truths, but when you really think about it, they make a difference in how we live and how we think. So, Heavenly Father, help us to walk in the light. Help us to love one another with a pure heart. Help us to strive to keep you first in all things so that we are not an occasion for stumbling, but we're a pathway for others to follow. Thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.